This is a Cincy Fan Talking with LP. You can catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. You say it like it sounds, just leave off the G. If you have ideas for the show, you can reach me at Cincy_FanTalk@yahoo.com. If you have any suggestions for the show, make sure you leave them there. Who knows, you might find yourself as part of the show. Any feedback would be definitely appreciated. And also, make sure you hit the Linktree page that's on my Twitter. Make sure you click on that. You can find all the different ways to contact me there. Enjoy the show. Yo, what's up? What's up? What's going on out there, everybody in podcast land? Welcome to another episode of A Cincy Fan Talking with LP. And of course, this is yours truly, LP. What it is, y'all? What's going on? Hope everybody been chilling, you know, hanging out this week, doing what you do. School starting up very, very soon. Last week, I'm like, school starting up soon. This week, I'm like, yeah, you can kind of feel it in the air. I can tell the utter depression of the kids in the house. Like, they ready, but they not ready. You know, they want to see their friends, but at the same time, it's school. I get it. But hey, you know, you do what you gotta do out here. You know, they knew what it was. Got some stuff for y'all, man. I got my whole, I won't call it a Snowfall review, but I real life did a deep dive into Snowfall just based off of one question. I didn't mean to do this. I hadn't sought to dive into Snowfall like this when I first started this, but I watched like a few episodes of season 5 and I'm like, dang. So I had to go all the way back, and you know, I'll hop into that in a second, man. It's a whole thing. Since this is a Cincy Fan Talking, we're going to talk about some fan-oriented stuff. So we're going to get into that in a second, too. But first, look, man, I'm not going to hold y'all up. I'm still a little pissed that Ole State lost to the team up north. I won't say pissed. I won't even say salty. I mean, they just got that ass handed to them in November. It's one of those things where you knew the streak had to end. Like, you know that. You can't win them all. I get that. But we talking about Ohio State, man. And the expectation is to win them all. Especially against a team up north. You know, you got to beat Michigan. And to win 10 straight, you know, in a row, you know, you feeling good. And, you know, they take the L the way they did. They just got ran over, y'all. Like, they really did. I just had to give props to the Michigan fans. I'm like, you know what? Y'all did y'all thing. If you look on my Twitter page, you won't see any slander. Like, I'm like, well, we won the year before. You know, we won 10. Am I imitating my own voice? Yikes. But, you know, I could go that route. But the only one that matters is the game that just happened. That's how it is. And we took that L, so I can't be online talking reckless. Like, yeah, you know, we 17-3 in the last 20 years. What it is with that? They be like, well, we won the last one. Facts. So I had started, you know, about to break down why I feel like Ole State will trounce Michigan this year. And I'm like, you know what? Let's go bigger. So this is a Big Ten preview, but it's for people who really don't watch Big Ten football. So if you out there and you like, man, SEC my team, like those my teams right there, SEC. If that's you, if you a Big 12 fan or a ACC fan or a Pac-12 fan, or you just really don't watch a lot of football, but you want to, you know, catch the big games, I got you covered. I'm going to do the same thing for Cincinnati's conference. This will be the last year in the American. Still a weird name. We're going to do that next week. But for this week, I'm gonna break this down. I'm gonna give you the favorite team in the Big Ten, the team I think is gonna win it all, Ohio State. I mean, everybody know that. The toughest games that they'll have this season. I'm gonna give you some overachievers and underachievers to look for in the Big Ten. And then I'm gonna give you the top 8 Big Ten games you should watch. Like, if you decide, I don't really have time to be checking through the whole Big Ten schedule, I'm gonna give you 8 games that you should watch. The dates and everything. I got you. So, of course, the favorite is Ohio State. And full disclosure, I'm doing this from a perspective where I'm not just going to, like, ride my favorite team. This is an unbiased perspective. Real talk. Dead serious. So, the 3 toughest games that Ohio State will have, of course, the team up north, Michigan. That's always going to be a tough game. And I talk mess about Michigan all the time because I realize that when you break down the programs, they're really a lot alike, and you really want to beat the team that's like you. I mean, I want to beat my brother in everything because when we strip it down, we're really alike. We have the same core values. We have pretty much the same beliefs, you know. I want to be dude. That's what it is with Ohio State and Michigan. It's that guy that you want to beat so you can tell them about it the whole year long. It's going to be a tough game. It doesn't matter if Michigan comes in 5-6. It makes no difference because they're going to bring it when they play the Buckeyes. So that'll be a tough game. The game against Notre Dame will be a toughie. I feel like Ohio State should win it, especially when Notre Dame's coming through with, I think, Tyler Buckner, sophomore QB, didn't start last year, played a few games. I feel like they lost a lot defensively. And it's not going to be a game that Ohio State's going to just run through like and trounce these guys by 40. Nah. I expect a tough game. Ohio State might be down 3 at halftime or something like that. And then they'll come through, pull it out, get the dub. If this game was at Notre Dame, I'd be a little more concerned. But with it being in the shoe in Columbus, I feel like they'll be fine. The toughest game on the schedule. I feel like if the Buckeyes lose any game this season, it'll be against Penn State. Now, it's weird because when Ohio State plays Penn State, they normally win. The last 11 games, Ohio State is 10-1. But when you look closely at those games, Ohio State had to come back in the fourth quarter down 15 to win. Ohio State had to come back down 18 to win. They always play Ohio State tough. Penn State does. So it's going to be very tough for any team in college football to go undefeated. I mean, it just is. It's hard to do. You got to bring your best every week. And then teams like Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, you're getting everybody's best every week. If college football had a Super Bowl in the regular season, anybody that plays Ohio State, that's their Super Bowl. Same with Alabama, same with Clemson, same with Georgia. There's a few teams in college football where you play them, you bring in the house, you're pulling out all the trick plays that you ran back in 1995. Like, you're pulling out all those stops because you want to beat Ohio State. They're the best team on everybody's schedule, real talk. So, Penn State understands this, and not only do they understand it, they embrace it. Like, they put everything into it. So, the expectation is for Ohio State to go undefeated. Because that's the expectation every year. Ryan Day put it out there plainly. He's like, look, when you play for Ohio State, when you coach at Ohio State, the expectation is to win every game. Point blank. But if they do lose a game, I think it's going to be here. All right, so, did that. There are going to be a couple of teams that overachieve in the Big Ten this year. I think Purdue and Maryland will be those teams. Now, you look at Purdue and you go like, what? I mean, they have a good QB. You know, they got decent receivers, but it's not like they're the greatest team in the Big Ten West. But you got to look at it like this. Purdue doesn't play Ohio State. Purdue doesn't play Michigan. Purdue doesn't play Michigan State. Purdue plays Penn State, but it's the first game of the season, and it's at Purdue. For those reasons alone, I expect Purdue to have a pretty good season because they miss all of the really, really good teams in the other division. Still going to have a tough one with Wisconsin. Still going to have a tough one with Iowa, probably. Still a tough one with Nebraska. But they have a chance to get 9 wins. That might win them the Big Ten West. And over on the other side, I think Maryland's going to be a really, do I want to say good? They're going to be better than last year. They're going to be a pretty decent team. It's tough when you have to play Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan every year. That's like 4 L's on your schedule already. But Maryland has a really good quarterback. They have excellent receivers. They probably have the second best wide receiver room in the Big Ten. Ohio State is first, of course. I mean, dude, you're looking at so many super future stars in the making there. But Maryland has a really good wide receiver room. And I think they'll be able to hang with a lot of the teams in the Big Ten. So I feel like those two teams are going to overachieve and do better than what people were thinking. On the flip side, I think Iowa and Michigan State are going to do worse than what other people were thinking. Iowa and Michigan State are always pretty good teams. But Iowa cannot do much on offense. They're going to have a solid defense because that's what they do. But on offense, they're just so, I wouldn't even call them sporadic. I would call them just not good. They struggled last year and they didn't really make improvements to get better this year. And as far as Michigan State, I just feel like offensively they're going to be limited. And that's the way it is in college football nowadays. You have to be able to score. Michigan last year, they were basically running over people, literally running over people. And then when they played Georgia, they found out quickly that if you can't throw the ball, it's over. Because people are going to, I won't say stop the run, but there are going to be times in the game where you're going to have to lean on your QB. And I don't think Michigan State or Iowa are going to be teams that can lean on their QB when they really need it. Great quarterback play is, I can't even state how important it is in college football. It's important in every level you go, but college football, the quarterback is probably the most important component because of the way offenses are opening up now. So I feel like Michigan State and Iowa, they don't really have what it takes to be successful because the quarterbacks are kind of, and Iowa more than Michigan State. I mean, Peyton Thorne might be okay for Michigan State. I just don't think he's at that level to compete with the other folks in the Big Ten. So, you got your favorite. You have your overachievers, your underachievers to look for. So, let's say you're like, okay, but what game should I be looking out for? I got you. Now, a little disclaimer here. I'm only talking about Big Ten conference games, okay? Of course, you're going to want to see Michigan State, Penn State play Auburn. Of course, you're going to want to see Michigan State play Wisconsin. I mean, Washington. I mean, you're going to want to see those games. In the Big Ten, here are the games you should be checking out. The first game, September 1st. Penn State at Purdue. This is going to be a big game for Purdue. If they have a shot to win the Big Ten West, they have to win this game because this will probably be one of the toughest games they play. And they get to avoid the really, really big teams in the Big Ten East. So if they can pull this game out, it'll put them on a great trajectory to succeed in the Big Ten. Penn State, they have to win because you can't really punt too many games in the Big Ten and expect to win it. So that'll be a big game. September 24th, Wisconsin at OSU. Of course, that's going to be a big game. When Wisconsin comes to town, it's always a big game. Wisconsin hasn't been successful against Ohio State lately, but if they want to make some noise, they have to pull this game out. The day of October 29th is going to be huge. It's going to be really, really big. Because you have Ohio State at Penn State and Michigan State at Michigan on October 29th. Two really big games. This is going to start to shape what the Big Ten East is going to look like. So after that day, you're going to see a couple teams fall. You're going to see a couple teams jump up. And those teams that win on October 29th, those are the two teams that will probably win the Big Ten East. So look out for that day. Another big day, November 12th. You got Michigan at Nebraska and Wisconsin at Iowa. I feel like this day is going to shape the entire Big Ten West. So you had the big day for the Big Ten East. This is going to be the big day for the Big Ten West. We're going to see who kind of like elevates to the heights of taking that division and who's going to be looking forward to next year. It's weird how this broke down into days, though, for real. The last day you should look out for, I feel like this will be championship weekend for the Big Ten. This will be November 26th. You got Minnesota at Wisconsin, and then you got Michigan at Ohio State. I think they'll be playing for the titles of the Big Ten East and West on this day. So that's going to be a really big day to look out for. Make sure y'all stay tuned. Fellas, if you got to make excuses to kind of stay home and not do your honey-do list or whatever, hey, make it for one of those days that I just said, all right? Championship, I got Wisconsin going against Ohio State. I feel like Ohio State will take it. They just have too much talent for the rest of the conference. That's how I feel. I feel like Ohio State is the only team in this conference that recruits players like a Southern team would. I feel like I said that before. They recruit players like Alabama would or Georgia would. And I'm not saying that because, you know, I guess I am saying that because they're not on the same level as the Big Ten teams. But until the Big Ten decides to recruit the same way that Ohio State does, Ohio State's going to win this conference pretty much every year. Now, I say pretty much. There's going to be some anomalies. You know, you're going to have a team sneak up and win it every now and again. But I don't think anybody's going to consistently sustain excellence the way Ohio State is in the Big Ten. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, if you look at it, the proof is really in the pudding. I mean, you look at the recruiting classes of these teams and you go like, how's Ohio State getting these players? It's because they made a concerted effort in the last two decades to recruit kids from Georgia, from Alabama, from Texas, from California. And other teams in the Big Ten, they're not doing that yet. So since they're not doing it, you're not going to be as competitive. I mean, it's not like the NFL where you pretty much get an equal shot at a player depending on how you played last year. It doesn't work that way. You're leaning on name recognition. You're leaning on how many kids do you get in the pros. You're leaning on a lot of different stuff nowadays. And Ohio State recruits at a level that other teams don't, so they get results that other teams don't. And until you have other teams that decide to change that, this is pretty much how it's going to be, y'all. Just saying. Real talk. Before I slide out on the whole football talk, I saw something pop up on my Twitter feed yesterday. And it said, let me make sure I get this question right. Well, it said, I don't know if this was real or not. It looked kind of like made up. But it was like the percentage of football teams whose fans actually attended that school. And I noticed something immediately for the teams that weren't as good or, you know, for the smaller schools, it was like almost all of those fans went to that school. And then the more successful the team was, the less likely those fans went to that school. And the question was, how does that make you feel? And honestly, for me, this is me being like a true blue Ohio State fan and knowing a whole lot of fans that didn't go to Ohio State. It really doesn't bother me at all. I get it completely. Like, I'm from the Natty. You know, I'm from Cincinnati. 513 all day. I love the Bearcats. I love the Musketeers. I didn't go there. And you got to understand, in certain cities, in certain states, they identify with those schools in their city or their state because in a lot of cases, they took the place of the professional teams. Like, as far as basketball went, we didn't have a pro team. You know what I'm saying? So we had to pick a side. We had to pick either Bearcats or Musketeers. I mean, it's hard to be fans of both. I consider myself a fan of both. If the two teams are playing each other, I slightly lean towards the Musketeers. Just slightly. But as far as we're concerned in Cincinnati, you're a fan of the Bearcats and the Muskies if you live here and didn't go to one of the schools. Like, you rock with both of them. So if somebody tells me, man, you can't be a fan, you crazy. How you a fan of UC and you went to Ohio State? I'm like, this my city. This where I'm from. You from Toledo. I can tell you more about Bearcat history than you can. Like, you've been going here for a few years. This is my city. I can tell you how devastated we were when Kenyon Martin got hurt. Like, I can tell you how hype we were when Xavier went to the Sweet 16 for the first time and they beat Georgetown. Like, that was 1990, bruh. That was 1990. I can tell you all of that. You just got here, so you really can't tell me that I can't be a fan of the school, and it's my city. And going to Ohio State, you got to understand, the Ohio State football team, that literally is a professional franchise. And, you know, soccer's there, and soccer's big. Hockey's there, and hockey's big, and both of those are professional. But as far as what Columbus identifies with, Buckeyes all day long. So you can't tell somebody, if you're an Ohio State fan and you went to Ohio State, you can't tell somebody that live on the east side of Columbus how you a fan you didn't go there. They look at you like, this is where we live. Like, this is the city of Columbus, Ohio State. So what are you talking about? So I definitely get it. I couldn't ever hate on somebody going like, yeah, you know, I'm an Alabama fan. You know, I didn't go there, but I live here. Like I get that. The only thing that really bothers me, and it still irks me to this day, is when people go to one school, root for another school, and give you crap about your school. And It's real specific. This one dude I know, he went to Miami University, Miami of Ohio University. For those of y'all that are not like Ohio initiated, you know, it's the Miami University of Ohio. Like, that's what it is. So, not Miami, Florida. Miami Redhawks. He went there. He walked up to me one day and he go like, Ohio State sucks. And, you know, as a Buckeye fan, I always tell people this. There are very few teams in the United States where as soon as you hear their name, you either go like, yeah, that's my team, or I can't stand them. Very few teams elicit this response, yo. Duke. Look, we're going to do a little exercise. When I say a name, just say the first thing that pops up in your head, like love or hate. Duke. See, a lot of y'all thought Christian Laettner and was like, ugh, I can't stand them. Bobby Hurley, I can't stand them. Or some people was like, man, that's my squad. That's what it is. Let's do another one. Alabama. See? Like, as soon as I said that, you either went like, ugh, I can't stand them. Or you was like, yeah, yeah, that's my squad. There's very little middle room for these teams. Let's do one more. I got one more for you. Let's do one more. North Carolina. See? Like, there's no, I don't really care. Very few of you out there did that. You either went like, that's my squad, or I hate them. I got one more. The Yankees. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And when I'm saying exactly, it's because I'm thinking of the first thing that popped up in my head. When I said Yankees, I'm like, man, I don't really like them. Like, I really thought that. Shout out to all my Yankee fans out there, because they true blue. Like, you know, they're real loud Yankees fans. Hate the Red Sox, all of that. But you don't find a whole lot of middle ground. That's what it is with Ohio State. You either really like them or you really hate them. It's one or the other. So I'm used to that. When he was like, Ohio State sucks, I'm used to that. So he walks up to me. We sitting in my classroom. And he like, man, I can't stand Ohio State. And I'm like, didn't you grow up in Cincinnati? Yeah, man. Didn't you go to Miami University? Yeah, man. Michigan, my team. This is my squad. I'm like, please explain. Because, like, I get it if you live in that city. I understand that completely. How can you live in Cincinnati, go to MU, and hate Ohio State and be a Michigan fan? I didn't understand it. So somebody had to help me. I'm like, you got to help me with this. And so I'm listening. Man, just ever since as a kid, man, I just never liked Ohio State. Like, I never did. I'm like, I don't get it at all, but I do. Because to be a fan, a lot of times, is to be irrational. You know, you like what you like and you like who you like for whatever reasons. So fan is short for fanatic. Like, it really is. Like, if you're a fan, you're a fanatic, you really like that team. So I'm like, I told him, I'm like, That's kind of trash. Like, that's super trash, dude. But that's how you feel. So I'm not even going to, like, I'm going to let you have it when Ohio State blow you boys out, which they did for like the last 4 years. I'm like, make sure that you don't hide from me when I let you have it. Red Hawk / Wolverine. I don't know. What would that look like? Like, if a Red Hawk and a Wolverine, like, had a baby, like, what'd that look like? A red animal? I don't know. Like, this is weird, man. I told him this. He's just kind of laughing at me. But I don't get a lot of stuff that fans do. But once I remember that they're fans and, you know, fans do what they do, I'm like, okay, it makes perfect sense. To my fans out there, all I say is respect other fan bases, man. Real talk. When you really break it down, we talking about games. Like, for real, we just talking about games. Like, I'll see people just ridiculous. Man, just cussing at people and talking reckless about the players. Sometimes these players will be like 18, 19 years old, and they like, it's ridiculous. So respect fan bases and respect players, and you pretty much cool with me. Even if I don't like your team at all. Like, because I've met a lot of Michigan fans, especially, you know, on Twitter. I met a lot of Michigan fans. Very few of these fans have been ridiculous or abrasive or something like that. You know, they like their team. They hate my team. But when we're not talking about our teams, it's cool. So respect other fans, respect fan bases, respect players, and it's really all good. Hey, you got a Cincy fan talking with LP. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Princess and I'm Queen. This is Daddy.
You have to say, and this is a Cincy fan talking with LP.
And this is a Cincy fan talking with LP Daddy.
Nice job.
Welcome back to the pod, y'all. And of course, you got a Cincy fan talking with LP, and this is LP. If you hear a little bit of squeaker up in the spot today, I got stuck with the bad chair, y'all. I think the wife hit me with the switcheroo, and I got stuck with the squeaky chair. Armorall won't get it. I can't just dump her out of the chair. Like, I will lead to consequences and repercussions. I'm not ready for. I don't really want to take that chance. So I'm going to just have to hold it down with the squeaky chair. And the thing about it is, I know it's squeak, but sometimes I kind of rock from side to side when I'm talking, and I forget. And then I just hear, and I try to hold still. And then I hold still for a while, and it just keeps working this way. So, my bad. All right, so if you follow me on Twitter, you know I got a propensity to live tweet certain shows and events. Like, I gotta start putting disclaimers to tell people to just mute me for certain time periods. I think people have figured out to mute me from about 9 to 11 on Fridays because I'm watching New York Undercover and I'm live tweeting that whole thing because I already seen the episodes like 15 times and I'm just retweeting and tweeting for the homies. I think people know that when the Bengals game is on, just mute me for the whole time because I'm going hard. I guess this delights some people because they were laughing at my pain for the last couple of years. and then, like, they were laughing at me because they were, you know, enjoying my joy. And then it got to the point where I'm doing cartwheels on social media, you know, when the Bengals went to the Super Bowl. So there's that. But also, I think people know to mute me on Wednesdays around 10 o'clock when snowfall is on. I retweet that show heavy. And no, I tweet through it. I realized that this year, like this season when it comes back out, I might have to fall back on the live tweeting for Snowfall. I couldn't believe all of the stuff that I missed. Like the subtle stuff, the stuff that I like, you know, the stuff that makes the show a show to me. There was so much that I missed. So check it out. It was this big thing on Twitter while we were watching. People were feeling like, you know, season 5 kind of jumped the shark a little bit. Where they were doing stuff that people would look at like, really? Like, did that make sense? And the whole thing was people thought that the show kind of went off the rails a little bit when John Singleton passed. Like, rest in peace to John Singleton. He look, man, I can't even express how deep this man's movie catalog is, man. If you don't know, Google John Singleton and just start watching From Boys in the Hood, and then just keep going, man. Like Poetic Justice, Higher Learning, just keep going. Like the man's a legend. Rest in peace. So the question that was posed is, did the show really lose its way after John Singleton passed? I don't like people thinking for me. So I'm like, I want to know the answer. So I figured it out myself. I rewatched all of season 5. And I'm like, it kind of sort of makes sense now. Now, the tiger will never make sense to me. If you haven't seen it, spoilers all day. So if you don't like spoilers, just kind of whiz through some of these parts. A tiger jumped out in season 5. Not jumped out, but this man like kept a tiger in his backyard, like in a cage. And people were like, why? It was great TV, but people were like, why? So I watched all of season 5. The tiger never made sense. But there was other stuff in season 5 that happened that didn't make sense to me when I first watched it, you know, watched it live. But when I rewatched it, I'm like, it makes sense. But there was some stuff where I was like, I don't know. So I'm like, you know what I got to do? I got to watch from season 1. I got to watch S1, E1, and I got to just go all the way through because I really wanted to know. Did the vision change? Does it not look the way that it was supposed to look? The answer, and I'll definitely tell you why, it's a resounding no. Like, I feel like, if anything, the show was carrying out what he wanted it to do. Now, If you haven't seen Snowfall before, you have no clue what I'm talking about. I'll give you a brief synopsis. It focuses on the 80s, and it focuses on the crack epidemic in the early and mid 80s. And it basically starts from the very beginning, when there was no crack on the streets. It was really just cocaine. And you watch a couple of people navigate this terrain from about 1983 on through. And you watch the changes, not only in these people, but in the neighborhoods and in the nation, because of the crack cocaine epidemic. And the main character, I think a lot of people feel like, is Franklin Saint, played by Damson Idris. Excellent actor, by the way. A lot of people focus on him, and I think they watch his story, and they kind of say that the show is kind of getting a little goofy. But I feel like that this is totally inaccurate. I feel like the show is really staying true to the first couple of seasons when John Singleton was alive. I feel like this show is really staying true to that all the way through season 5. And what I think, this is just my honest opinion, I feel like people want Franklin Saint to end up on top. They want the happy ending, and they want to see him conquer all of the gangs and beat the CIA at their own game. And they want to see Franklin end up, you know, in the driver's seat and kind of rolling and controlling things through the 80s and the 90s. That's not how the story's going to go. And I don't even really need to have a crystal ball or anything like that. If you grew up in the 80s and 90s, you know how this story is going to end. Like, you pretty much know that he can't end up on top if this story is going to be true to what this time period indicates. We already know the ending to the story. The question is, how does it happen? Not really what happens. And I feel like people lose that because they want the entertainment value. And that's fair, because you're looking at a TV show and you want to be entertained by a TV show. I get that. It's not like we're watching PBS. You know, we're watching FX here. So I get that. But what you have to understand is, if you want to see that vision carried out the way Singleton wanted to carry it out, you have to know that this isn't going to end up well for almost every party involved, except if you work for the government. You have to understand that. And the thing about it is, the show gave us clues continually as to what would happen, especially in the first 2 seasons. And I was just kind of mind blown as I'm watching so many people telling Franklin, this isn't going to work out the way you think it's going to work out. It's not going to work out the way you want it to. And I feel like he kind of sort of understood that, but his main thing was freedom. He wanted freedom. He wanted to play the game his own way. And as a black man in America, I understand that 155,000%. The game doesn't work when you play the game the right way. There's so much kind of stacked up against you, and it makes people want to kind of play the game outside of the boundaries because you feel like everybody else is too. But what you have to understand is there's consequences that go to that. And you had his uncle telling him, you know, this isn't the game that you want to play. You had his mom tell him this. You had his dad tell him this. There were a lot of people in his circle. But it is really funny. It's not funny, but it was really telling. Like, what one of the guys, I think it was Avi, what he told him is, Avi's like, I'm a soldier. You know, this is what I do. You know, I'm giving orders and, you know, I'm following those orders out. I only have one path because I am who I am. And he's telling Franklin, you're cursed with being able to do whatever you want to do. And I'm like, what? And then I thought about it like, oh, because he has so many options. He kind of feels like he can do whatever. And that's a blessing and a curse. Whereas you have some other people that really only have one thing, and they're kind of like, you know, singularly focused. And I'm like, I really get that. That made a lot of sense. But the first 2 seasons has so many Easter eggs as to what was going to happen. And I felt like season four was that, look at that, squeak, 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 squeak. Come on, LP, stop rocking in the chair. And I feel like season four was the turning point. I really don't like to compare shows to The Wire. Like, I don't. Because The Wire kind of stands on its own. You have The Wire, you have The Sopranos, you have stuff like that. And then you have a lot of other shows under it. I feel like what this show did was kind of Wire-like. Because it forces you to take the long view. If you take the short view when you watch this show, you're going to think that this show is doing crazy stuff that they wouldn't have done in the first two seasons. But when I'm looking, like, I really did a deep dive, y'all, for real. Like, when I looked at the writers and the executive producers and who created it and everything, all of these people are still the same. Real talk. Like, a lot of the same writers and directors and executive producers and all that from the first season are still on the show. So it's not like they started with a whole brand new template. You know what I mean? Like, the show at its core is pretty much the same. And I feel like when we look back at this show and you go like, man, like, this is a really good show. And you break it down and go like, you know, what was the turning point in this whole thing? You're going to look back at season four and you're going to go like, this is when they all decided what they were going to be, no matter what. Franklin pretty much decided in season four that this was going to be his long-term plan. Like, this is what he was going to do. He's going to sell drugs because he had all the money he needed. And his main goal in the beginning was basically to lift up his community. And he just went so far away from that and ended up basically destroying the community. And you look at somebody like Aunt Louie, who started off working for Franklin, but she always had dreams of getting her own thing. She wanted to run the show. And people are acting really surprised and like, man, I can't stand Louie for what she did. From season one, she made it clear that she wanted her own thing. She wanted her own club. You know, she wanted to run her own distribution. She made this clear from the beginning. And I feel like the men around her really didn't listen. And they were just kind of like, you know, you need us to do what you need to do. And she's like, I'm never going back to being like that poor country kid again. Like, I'm going to have my own thing. She ended up leaving Jerome for a while because of that. And then they got back together. So her stepping out on her own, I feel like we should have saw that coming. Now, the way she did it, you know, going behind Franklin's back, using his distribution, that was messed up. And if you want to argue with that, you won't get an argument from me because I agree. But why she did it, she made that known for a long time. I mean, she really did. And then you got somebody like Leon. Leon started off as pretty much muscle, and now he's evolved to what Franklin was supposed to be. Leon is the one asking Franklin, did you read this book? And I'm like, wow, this is stuff that Franklin would have said in the first season. I mean, the evolution of all the characters from a long-term scale is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I think it's the stuff of legend. I mean, I literally watched every episode back to back. And I feel like when you watch it that way, you pick up on so many things. Now, I had to take a break, y'all, of course. I mean, you know, I had stuff to do. I got kids, you know, I got a lot of running around to do. So it wasn't like I just kind of sat down and watched one whole season in one day, you know. It took a little bit. But I feel like watching it this way, you get to see how Teddy McDonald, you get to see how, am I still calling him? Yeah, it's Teddy. No longer Reed. So you get to see how Teddy started off, you know, with his core America values, ready to do whatever it took to, you know, let the mission, to help the mission. And he's still that same character, but now he has like this ridiculously dark side that you know, it wasn't there in the first season. And you could kind of see all of the stuff that happened to him. You know, he lost his brother. He pretty much lost his family. His job kind of like, you know, shoved him out. And you can kind of see what makes a person do the stuff that they do. I just feel like we should have seen this coming. Like, we should have seen how in season 5 it would just get ridiculously crazy and you're going to have family feuds and shootouts and all that crazy stuff. It seems crazy at its core to have a nephew going up against his auntie and his uncle, which is what season 6 is going to be. It seems crazy, but when you look back at it from season 1, it makes perfect sense because they're dealing in something that destroyed neighborhoods, especially inner city neighborhoods. Like it just destroyed these neighborhoods and it moved from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast. I mean, and I feel like season 6, the finale, you know, this final season, I feel like we're going to see the repercussions of what happened in LA. We're going to start seeing that in a lot of other cities too. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not going to be live tweeting it. I've made a pact to myself. I might tweet during commercials, but you won't have to mute LP on Wednesdays from 10 to 11, 10 or something like that. You won't have to mute me. I promise you. You can leave your feed going. I will not flood your feed with snowfall on FX. I promise. And if I do, I don't know, I'll smack my hand or something. I don't know. Withhold dessert. I don't know. I gotta think of a consequence for that. Let me know something I should do. Hey, we're gonna go ahead and roll out. Y'all know where to find me. Y'all know where to catch me. The social is pretty much Twitter. You'll hear that at the end of this. So make sure you hit me up. They told me I need to start saying like and subscribe. I'm like, this ain't YouTube. What you talking about? You telling me to get on YouTube? I don't know. We'll see. But definitely hit that little bell and subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you do that. And as always, y'all, life is good. Peace out. If you're not ready for the conversation to end, I'm not either. Make sure to catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. Leave off the G at the end of it, and we can keep the conversation going. Also, don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button so you can catch the next episodes. The episodes will drop every Tuesday. If there's a change in that, I'll make sure to let you know. Appreciate the support. As always, life is good.